is, and he said, you know, I want to come up with an idea that will be, I mean, people just use it, and then I have to use it again, use it again, use it again. Well, make a long story short, his name was Gillette, and he developed a Gillette safety razor. Well, I use a Gillette. I use one of those new Mach 3, Mach 4 things. You know, I've seen the ads on television. Here comes a high-performance jet right straight at you, and all of a sudden it turns into a men's shaver, and it has a triple blade. Oh, it's just awesome. I will say this. I don't cut myself when I use that. If I use a cheap razor, I usually end up with a nick on my chin or somewhere. But Gillette had a vision. He had a dream. He stayed in there and until he got the thing done. Now here, Gillette is probably a billion-dollar corporation. I mean, you know, men all over the world and women are using Gillette razors. We use them every day. And then we throw them away and we go buy another one. That sounds like such a deal, right? Well, God has a plan for you. He wants to loose his favor, his will, his approval. He wants to do all the things for you. And when I look at number 6 again, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, I'm ready. The Lord make his face to shine on you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, I want you to always be able to look at me because there's no sin in my life. I want you to look at me with approval. I want you to be gracious to me. See, you could say another word for grace or graciousness is favor. I want you to favor me. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. The Lord shall invoke, or they shall, speaking of the priests, invoke my name on the sons of Israel, then I will bless them. Lord, I invoke your name on my day. See, I want to name my days with the name of the Lord. I want to name my days with his favor and his graciousness. I want it to work. I want it to work. And folks, I'm telling you, look around in the body of Christ. How many people are sick and broken? They're passive. They have no goal. They have no drive. They're saying, I don't even know why I'm here. I hate life. And if I didn't think I'd die and go to hell, I'd probably kill myself. I'd commit suicide. But I, you know, Darren, I just don't believe I can commit suicide. I think that's murder, and, you know, and they have some excuse for not doing that. Basically, they don't do it because they're chicken. Now, what I'm suggesting to you, stand on the word. And if you have to stop by pretending and masquerading, fine. But get started. Practice and experience before you get into the real situation. You need to risk. So you need to get the confession going. Now, let me tell you why this works. When you begin to confess the word, and you begin to say, I have the confidence of Jesus Christ in me. Now, that's an affirmation. A confession would be, cast not away your confidence, for it has a great reward. Hebrews 10:35. For you have need of endurance. It's going to take endurance, beyond endurance, beyond endurance, for you to get where you're going. And the only way you're going to be able to hold in there is you continue to go back to the fountain of life, Jesus. And you go back there and you begin to confess his word and confess his word, and it becomes more and more real to you, and you have more and more energy. Now see, the devil's going to say to you, listen, Dodo, you're flying into a blind box canyon here. We've got a lot of box canyons in Colorado. You know, we've had a lot of planes fly up the beautiful valleys, and all of a sudden, oop, oop, there's a wall of mountains ahead of me. Do I have the power to get up over that mountain? Do I have room to turn around? If I don't have those two things, I'm going to fly that thing right into the mountain and kill myself. And that's happened numerous times here in Colorado. Now, see, the devil's going to tell you, you're stupid. You're dummy. What makes you think? You're unworthy mess. What makes you think you're going to succeed? Well, let me tell you, little old you is not going to succeed without Jesus. But the more you go back to Scripture and you say, God, did you really say this, that all things are possible with you? Did you really say that? God, I'd never judge you as being a liar. I just never would do that. I wouldn't judge you as being weak. So I believe you're telling me the truth. I believe that all things are possible with you. And see, now, when I go back and I do that, I reaffirm my basis. I'm building up my confidence. I'm saying, devil, you're out of here. Take that doubt and that fear and that unbelief and get out of here. I'm going with God. And I go back and quote that scripture, with men it's impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And Lord God, I've got this wild dream. I've got this wild dream. I'd like to have a lifetime income. Can you do that? The answer is yes, because all things are possible with God. And he says, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Now, I quote that Mark 10:27, but I'm going to open my Bible here, and I want to take you to a couple verses later that are really pretty awesome. And some of you have been saying, I wonder if I could ever have my own house. Well, here in Mark 10:27, I'll quote it again. It says, with men it's impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Darren, I don't even have a down payment, man. I don't know how, I don't have mortgages work. I don't even know where to go to borrow the money. I don't know what to do. Well, Peter began to say in Scripture, we've left everything and followed you, Jesus. And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you. See, now, Peter was worrying about the benefits. Where are the benefits now? We dropped the, you know, we quit being stinky fishermen and we came with you. And, you know, where's the payoff? And Jesus said in verse 29, now remember this, Mark 10:29. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms. He was saying, you've left the most treasured things you have on earth, your family. You've left farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but you shall receive 100 times as much now in this present age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, farms. When I come to that, I always say, thank you, Lord, you only gave me one mother. If I'd had two mothers like the one I had, they both drive me crazy. I'm kidding. Okay. Then it goes on to say, and farms along with persecutions and the age to come, eternal life. Now, but many who are first will be last and the last first. Now, I'm just saying this to you. Do you want a house? I'm saying God's given me two houses in one lifetime because I stood on Scripture. And each time I was broke. Each time I didn't have money. But you know, God provided the down payment. God provided everything. And I ended up with a house. One of them I lived in for a lot of years. Now, this last house God gave us 4.5 years ago. Sometimes I reach through the headboard on the bed and I just tap the wall and say, oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for this house. I can feel this house. This house is sheltering me. And it keeps the heat off me in the summer and the cold off of me in the winter. And Barb and I love our house because you gave it to us, Jesus. But I had to believe for that, folks. See, I had to believe that God could do the impossible. Now, he can bring you the impossible financing or he can just give it to you. Or you have somebody come along and say, you know, I think you're doing a good thing here for society, for the body of Christ, and I'm going to buy a house and you just live into it, for nothing. How would that work? Don't limit God. Just don't limit him. See, we need to get outside the box, folks. And somebody say, well, I don't know, my little Baptist church doesn't preach that. Well, get out of your little Baptist church and go over where somebody believes. You got to be under a teaching of faith. If you're going to make it, you got to have faith, folks. And somebody's got to teach you. And I'm telling you, what I'm giving you in this message here will save your bacon. It will help you come to those things that you can get any other way. Well, Darren, I mean, God just loves you and Barbara more than he loves the rest of us. Hogwash. God says, I'm not a respecter person. I don't have any favorites. He loves us all the same. In this Bible, and folks, I'll tell you why it's fair, because he gives all of us, rich or poor, no matter what the circumstances were of your birth. Doesn't even matter how you're conceived. If you're conceived in love or lust, it doesn't matter. God loves you the same. Well, my mother was a prostitute. I'm sorry about that, but you need to get up and go on. Forget that trash of the past. Quit rummaging around in that junk pile. You need to cut it off. You need to make a decision. Today is the first day of a miracle lifestyle for me. I'm going to have my own house. Now, Lord God, you said you'd give me a house. I want a house. He can give. I'm tired of sleeping in my car. I'm tired of sleeping under the bridge. It gets real cold under the bridge. I'm tired of standing on the street corner in downtown Denver and begging for money. Well, then quit it. Stop it. Make a decision. You're going to go with God. You need to take him up on those offers. He made offered promises. All things are possible to him who believes. Well, if it's not happening for you, baby, maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you're a doubter. Maybe you're just playing games. Now, see, I see so many people, they think, only way I'm going to make it is if I win the lotto. The only way I make it is if maybe I could phony up an accident and I'd get me an attorney and go out and sue the pants off somebody and win a big, big award in court. Now, a good part of our country thinks that's the only way they're going to make it. It's got to be luck. Got to be luck. I got to go to, you know, Las Vegas or go up here to Blackhawk west of Denver and got to gamble. That's the only way I'm going to make it. Let me tell you, folks, God has a better way, a secure way. He says, what's impossible with men, and look around. Just look around. I don't care what church you're in. Most of them are broke. Drive through the parking lot. See what you see. You can kind of tell who's going to that church by what they're driving. And see, it bothers me that so many Spirit-filled congregations are broke. That is sin, and it is wrong. Why don't you confess, Lord, I'm in poverty. I'm in sin. Poverty is a sin, Lord. I am so sorry. I'm a lousy representative of the body and blood of Jesus. Now, I know what I just said make you fighting mad. Good. I hope you get fighting mad. Maybe you'll do something about your deal. You say, well, Darren, I don't know what to do.